today as we come to the table.
When the world comes to church, we need to love the world in the church. Maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord. Maybe you're here today and maybe some of the things the world does or the way that it's accepted in our society, the Bible says it's wrong, and you might know that it's wrong, but you don't think it's that bad. We love you and you're welcome. But we have to let you know, the Bible says if you live that way, you can't go to heaven. That's what true love is, being honest. Oh, that's so harsh. Don't talk so harsh, Pastor. You'll run people away. The Lord said, I will send a double-edged sword. It'll cut both ways. Because I love you that much. If you don't repent, you're not getting in. Powerful. A lot of people reject it.
The gospel of Jesus Christ is like a two-edged sword. As Pastor Mark will explain in today's message, one edge of that sword cuts away the chains of sin and death, freeing people and bringing them into God's family. It brings life. The other side cuts people away from the grace they've been offered, bringing death. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, senior pastor of Calvary Knoxville. God sent Jesus with a desire to save all of mankind. He would love to restore all of us to perfection, but because he knows the selfishness that rules our hearts, he knows that some are going to reject his invitation. Sadly, those people are choosing their own eternal separation from him. They're choosing death. Now, let's continue studying Jesus' message to his church with Pastor Mark in Revelation chapter 2.
You hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. This is interesting because Nico means to rule over. And most believe it has to do with the pastors or those ruling over the church. And the laity, Laitans, comes from laity, which means the people. And when we look up what the deeds of the Nicolaitans were, this is where, again, it was beginning right here. It gets stronger as the church goes on, where the pastors and or the priests and or the leaders of the church start becoming a go-between between God and his people. God says, I don't want any go-betweens. I died on the cross and I tore that veil top to bottom, so that anybody could come to me anytime and they don't have to go through anybody to get to me. And he said, I hate it. When somebody tells you they've got to go through you to get to that person, God says it more than once in these churches. I mean, there's not a lot of things that God hates. He said, that, I hate it. It would be like our kids wanting to get to us and some adults between us and our kids saying, you can't talk to your parents. You just tell me what you want to know and I'll be the one that tells them everything. What? Grab that guy by the scruff and throw him out the back door. That's my child, and I'm their father. Don't you get between us. Nobody. Again, one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. He said, I hate that. Verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is the midst of the paradise of the garden. It's a little bit of thing that makes it more lively for the Ephesians, because this is where the Diana's temple was, which is one of the seven wonders of the world, and her symbol was a tree. There was a lot of environmental worship that went on, and her symbol was a tree, nature. Okay, and so he said, hey, I have the tree of life. That's the tree of death. You come to me, I'll give you the tree of life. It's in the midst of the paradise of God. Same tree. Isn't it kind of cool to know the same tree that was in the Garden of Eden when the Lord comes back, there's going to be the tree of life here on the earth. We'll be able to partake of that when the Lord comes back. What's that going to be like? I don't know. I'm going to love it. But it's going to be great, whatever it is, because it's a privilege to be able to do it. And so the loveless church, he deals with them. Now he comes to the next church in that mail route, if you will, the persecuted church, the church of Smyrna. And again, the church historically, the second church period where persecution kicked in. This is where as the church began to fall away and that first love began to fall away, Nero raised up, the emperor of Rome, Domitian raised up another emperor of Rome. And between the two of them killed some 6 million Christians during this era of time. So imagine if you were during this church period, this is the persecution church period. This is the crushing to the angel or the messenger of the church of Smyrna. Smyrna is where we get myrrh. Myrrh was an anointing for the dead. When Jesus, you know, they gave gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It represented his kingliness. It represented his fragrance of beauty and the myrrh, the fact that he was going to die. and resurrect. And the Lord's going to talk about death and resurrection. He's going to say, I know you're being killed. By the millions, I know you're dying. He said, but you trust in me. You put your hope in me. I'll take care of you. He says, these things says the first and the last who was dead and came to life. Bam, there it is. The myrrh, the death, coming back to life. He's taking out from chapter one and giving the introduction they need to hear. And the way you would get myrrh is by crushing it. You would crush it and get the oil of the myrrh that way. And he goes, I know you're being crushed. I know many of you are dying. I know this is happening, but I was crushed and I died, but I resurrected. To him who was dead and is now alive, to him who's the first and the last. He goes, that's me here. So this is the description. You have hope as well. I know your works. Now he gives them the good news again. I know your works, your tribulation and poverty. That isn't necessarily good news, but the works are. But you are rich. Again, why did they have poverty? Because this is also during this time where the Roman leaders started calling themselves gods. Again, a picture of the revived Roman Empire where this Antichrist is going to say that he's God. And you had to go and pinch incense. You pinch it and drop it on an altar to the Roman emperor. If you didn't do that, you couldn't get a good job. So many of them were losing their livelihoods, losing their money because a Christian can't do that. He says, I know your poverty. I know the tribulation you're going through. I went through that as well. He says, but you're rich. Why? Because you know me and you have the riches of heaven waiting. I know the blasphemy of those who say they're Jews and are not, but are really a synagogue of Satan. Again, the Jews were also jumping on the Christians during this church period. Why? Because the Jews were accepted among Rome. The Jews were an accepted religion. Rome left them alone. Christianity was not. And so they gave them a hard time and the Jews joined in. He goes, these aren't my real followers. They're a synagogue of Satan. I know about them as well. Do not fear any of these things which you're about to suffer. And this isn't the best news right here, but God gives them grace. Notice this. Indeed, the devil's about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested, and you'll have tribulation for 10 days. Again, 10 is the number of divine order. That means God has a certain set time that he's going to allow his church to suffer and no longer. He says, be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. If you just stay faithful to me through all this persecution, you'll have the kingdom waiting on you, and I will reward you for the suffering that you went through. Don't lose heart. There may be death, but there is definitely resurrection. There may be crushing, but there's going to be joy, and there's going to be life. He says, be faithful. And by the way, before I even finish this, I want to say this. You might be thinking, and I think this way, Lord, I thank you that we're not in a day like that in America. Other places are. How would I handle that? How would I handle knowing I was going to be put to death for my faith if I went to some other country and they arrested me for being a Christian or if something changed here in America? Here's what I'm convinced of. This is not just me saying I believe it, but when I go back and read the martyrs, and if you've ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs, it's a great book to read. There's some other martyrdom books out there. You will find that with all the believers that were being put to death for their faith that we have recorded, there was always joy at the time of their death. I don't understand it. It's supernatural. It was just something God did. And when you read about it, they'd be fearful, even a week before, even a day before. I remember reading about one that was, he was going to be burned to death, and he was putting his finger in the candle in his cell going, I can't handle this. How will I my whole body handle this? And he was almost panicked. And God gave him rest and peace and joy. And by the next day, he was rejoicing in the Lord, trusting in God. Many of them died singing, giving praises. Listen, this is not some self-determination. I'm going to do this and going to really shine bright for Jesus. It is supernatural grace that was given to them because they're made of the same stuff we are, which means if we ever face that persecution, and I don't think we will, but if we did, the Lord would give us the grace to go through it with joy. I believe that because knowing what he's going to do, even just the getting us through the even the painful part, I think that God even releases that from the things I've read. It's really amazing. Be faithful, he says, unto death. Verse 11, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Isn't that neat? What he's saying is this. Everybody that's been born will die once. You know, there's this whole discussion about, you know, when we die or if you're going to die, we're all going to die. You know, 10 out of every 10 die. That's just the news, all right? But the bottom line is that even though that takes place, if you're a believer, you'll only die once and then you live forever. If you're an unbeliever, you die twice. What do you mean, Mark? Here's what I mean. You'll die once physically, but then your spirit will be eternally separated from God and his glory for all of eternity if you don't receive Christ before that first death. And so he says, blessed are those who overcome. They'll not go to the second death. That is, they're going to be true believers and give their life to the Lord. Make sure that you're one that only dies once, and that comes by giving your life to Christ. Notice the compromising church. He comes now to the third church. This is again in church history. This was the days of Constantine, right after all the persecution of Nero and Domitian. Constantine comes along a little bit later, shortly after that, and Constantine sees this vision in the sky, he says, of a cross. And he hears a voice that says, conquer in this sign. So he goes to conquer. He defeats and takes over the empire as the new emperor. And he says, hey, because I heard conquering this sign and because I saw a cross, I believe that the God of the cross wants to be the God of the whole Roman Empire. So we're now going to all be Christians. Well, that's good and bad. All the Christians were like, great. All the persecution of us being put to death is suddenly gone. And now we're in. We're the in group. And everybody's trying to join them because they want to be pleasing to the emperor and pleasing to Rome. The bad news is all the people that didn't really know the Lord wanted to be in with Rome as well. So guess what they did? They joined the church. And now you have, when I say bad news, certainly you want the world coming in if they're coming in to receive. But if they're coming in bringing the world with them and they have no intention of repenting, you've got a real problem. You've got a church now that is forced, unless they make a strong stand, into compromise. And that's what was happening here. The world was coming in, wanting to be a part of the church here during the Pergamos time period and literally in the Pergamos region. And so he says to the angel of the church of Pergamos, write, these things says he who has a sharp two-edged sword. Notice again what he uses for his intro here, the word of God. It's not just a sword that's sharpened on one side, it's sharpened on both sides so it cuts both ways. It can be used back and forth. It can be used in and out. It's going to be, he says, I'm going to send my word very firmly, very tough, curtly, if you will, if you don't repent and respond to this because you're compromising. Stop the compromise. And listen, I told you we see a little bit of all these churches in the church today. Do you see a little bit of Pergamos in the Church of America today? You do, because the church is compromising. It's not just that the church is now saying, you know what? We used to see what the world was doing is, and we would call it out or say, look, we're not going to stand there. Now we're bringing it into the church and saying, not only is it okay, we're going to make our leadership involved in those sins. This was the sin of the church of Pergamos. So God now sends his sharp two-edged sword. I know your works, where you dwell, where Satan's throne is. How would you like to live in a town where God says that's where Satan set up camp? That's his home. By the way, there was a big throne built there to Zeus, who was known as the Savior God, kind of in competition to Jesus Christ. They found that throne years back, and they actually took the foundation of it up, moved it over to Germany. It's in Germany now. They rebuilt on top of it a model, and the real one's in a museum over there. And again, this is where Satan's throne was. This is where a lot of demonic activity was happening in that day. I don't know where Satan's throne is today. I have some thoughts. You wonder if it's North Korea? You look at some of the areas that are the darkest in the world. I don't know, but it was here at this time. And he says, you hold fast to my name, and you did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr. Again, history tells us Antipas was killed on that altar to Zeus, right there at the front of it. Who was killed among you, where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you. So here's my news now. There it is. First of all, I know the works you're doing. I know you have a hard time. He gives a little bit of encouragement, but now comes the part, okay, we got to deal with some things. He says, I have a few things against you because you have those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to stumble, to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel. You remember Balaam. Balaam was the prophet, the Gentile prophet in that day that Balak, the king, hired to try to curse the children of Israel before they came into the land of Israel. And every time he tried to curse them, a blessing came out. And finally he said, I can't bless them. I can't curse them. God won't let me. I can only bless them. He said, but I know how they can curse themselves. He said, get them involved in worshiping idols and sexual activity before marriage. And outside of marriage, and God will judge them. I won't have to curse them. They will curse themselves. So he sent them in with all their men into the women and the false idols. They got involved in sexual activity outside of marriage. And God began to judge them and had to judge the nation of Israel again, which God judged Balaam and Balak for doing that. But at the same time, God's people also got judged. But notice he said, here's what Balaam did. He calls them to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit sexual immorality. It was built into the false god worship of that day. Thus you have also those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate, he keeps mentioning that. Repent or else I will come to you quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. I'm going to speak the word of God in a powerful, cutting way if you don't repent, and I'm going to cut you off. You need to repent. No more compromise. Listen, the world's going to do what the world's going to do, and we need to love the world. And we need to, listen, when the world comes to church, we need to love the world in the church. Maybe you're here today and you don't know the Lord. Maybe you're here today and maybe some of the things the world does or the way that it's accepted in our society, the Bible says is wrong, and you might know that it's wrong, but you don't think it's that bad. We love you, and you're welcome. But we have to let you know, the Bible says if you live that way, you can't go to heaven. That's what true love is, being honest. Oh, that's so harsh. Don't talk so harsh, Pastor. You'll run people away. The Lord said, I will send a double-edged sword. It'll cut both ways because I love you that much. If you don't repent, you're not getting in. Powerful. A lot of people reject it. They run from the double-edged sword. Some people receive it and go, ouch, but I know it's true. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me. I come to you. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I'll give some of the hidden manna, I love that, to eat. And I'll give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except the one who receives it. Manna represents the word of God in Scripture, the bread of life. He says, if you'll be faithful to me, and you'll repent of these things, and get rid of the compromise in the church, and the compromise in your personal life, and walk according to my word in holiness again, I'll show you things in the Bible nobody else is seeing. I'll give you hidden manna. I'll blow you away. I will excite you about what's going to be happening in the future. I'll show you things prophetically. I'll show you things as how you're going to live in the future. All this I'll give to you. Hidden manna that other people won't get. It's a beautiful gift that the Lord promises to give if we do that. And a new name. Again, I love the new name because whenever you have someone you love, you always give them new names. And you think about, you know, if your boyfriend or girlfriend, you know, maybe with your wife and all that, you know, a lot of times, you know, you have nicknames for them. Your kids, you know, you have nicknames for them. And you can call them that nickname. And they just accept it as normal. Somebody else calls them that, you know, it's kind of like, what are you calling me that for? That's kind of weird. But your dad, you can call him all kinds of silly names, you know, Abby Dab, you know, or Lee Ellie, or whatever it might be. I have little names because I love them, you know, and I have pet names for them. Even your dog, you do that with, right? You give your dog pet names. He says, I'm going to give you a new name. Now, I doubt it's Buki or something like that. I don't think so. I think it's probably something more majestic than that. But still, isn't that exciting? And he comes to the last church now, the corrupt church. This was the church of Thyatira, again, a church of that day, but also in church history. This is where, again, we began to see the church getting involved in idols and very heavily in the priesthood. This is just a historic fact, and God now writes to this era, if you will, of how he feels about that. And to the angel of the church of Thyatira, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and feet like fine brass. Now, once again, he identifies how he's approaching them. Eyes of fire, I see right through what you're doing. My eyes pierce, and I see what's happening. I see the sin. I see what's happening behind the scenes. And not only that, I'm wearing feet of fine brass. Remember, brass in Scripture is the metal of judgment. He's saying, I'm coming to judge you. Judgment begins at the house of God. And I see this. And if you don't repent, I will be judging you. And I'm going to deal with it. And God will in his time. And he warns them he's going to. He says, I know your works. Now, again, once again, like all the other churches, he mentions what they're doing right at the beginning. I know your works, your love, your service, your faith, your patience. And as for your works, they're more than the first. The last, rather, more than the first. So you're doing more than even when you began. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. So he addresses now what they need to deal with. Because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Probably not a specific woman really named Jezebel, but that spirit. Remember, Jezebel was was married to King Ahab up in the northern kingdom. She came from a family of witchcraft and pagan worshipers and all that and brought it into Israel. And she was corrupting the entire nation up there in corruption. He says, you've allowed that corruption now to come into the church. And he said, you're accepting sexual immorality. Look, you're telling people, yeah, it's okay. You know, you really love each other. You can move in together. That's okay. God will accept that. God won't. He won't. He'll deal with that. God will judge that if you're a true believer. You may think you're getting away with something, not because he's mean, because he loves us. And this is the hard message again. He says, don't allow this corruption to come in. They were bringing it into the church. They were accepting it as normal. Just, it's okay. Bring all these things in. And again, this is fearful for the church to me in our day because much of the church is saying, you know what? It's okay to have all these idols in your worship. It's okay to have the sexual immorality. No biggie. Don't worry about it. God says, no, this is the spirit of Jezebel. This is wicked before God. He says, I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of their deeds. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and hearts. There's his piercing eyes of fire, searching the minds and hearts, and again, his brass feet bringing in the judgment if they don't repent, and I'll give to each one according to your works. Now I say to you and the rest of Thyatira, now he ends with encouragement again, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan as they say. That is, again, there was a whole serpent worship going on there in Thyatira. They called the depths of Satan. He said, if you've stayed away from that and been clean in that, I'll put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. Just, if you're walking with God in the midst of the corrupt church, hold on to what's not corrupt and you stay righteous. You stay pure until I come. And he who overcomes, that is those who makes it through and doesn't get corrupt like everyone else and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. Remember he said we're going to rule the nations with Jesus Christ. And now he pulls out a messianic verse that talks about when Jesus rules the earth during those 1,000 years, this is how he'll do it. Speaking of Jesus, it says, he shall rule them with a rod of iron and they shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel. That is those who don't walk in line with God's commandments and his word. And it says, you're going to be ruling with him. As I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. The Bible tells us another name for Jesus is the morning star. He says, if you'll be faithful, I'll give you me. Are you kidding? I get you if I'm faithful? Yeah, I'll take it. I'll take it. What better gift could there be than Jesus saying, I give myself to you? Beautiful. He who has an ear that is spiritually listening, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Guys, as we wrap up these first four churches, again, let's challenge ourselves this morning. Do we fall in the category of the loveless church? Now, I'm speaking, yes, I can include Calvary as a whole in any of these, but also I want to bring this down to individuals. I want us to challenge ourselves in heart. Has our love grown cold? Is it not like it used to be? Do we need to repent and redo? Do we need to cry out to God and ask for God to restore what it used to be like? If so, then you need to pray that today. What about the persecuted church? Maybe some of you are being persecuted. You're just crushed at the fact your family has rejected you and your friends have rejected you, and maybe at work they've rejected you. He says, I know what that's like. I was crushed as well. Be faithful. From the crushing comes something beautiful. He said, I'll give you the crown of life if you hang in there. Or maybe compromising. Maybe this morning God says, you know what? There's something you're compromising in your life about and you need to deal with it today. Stop it. You know that it's wrong. Quit making excuses for it and acting like it's okay. It's not okay. I want you to walk in holiness with me so it doesn't hinder our relationship. And lastly, the corrupt church, is there anything that is in our life that is corrupt? You know, sometimes my computer will act a little bit weird. I guess they all do. And I've got this malware thing, right? And you hit that button and it goes in there. Those of you that have a Mac, it does that. If you have a PC, you have some other virus thing. But it does a scan. And as it scans, it looks at everything. You see all these numbers going, all the scanning. It's like, oop, corrupted file. Quarantine, boom. Scanning, oop, corrupted file, boom. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the face of the whole earth. Again, seeking those that he can show himself strong through. They scan. This morning, God's Spirit is scanning us. His Spirit is scanning our hearts. The question is, when God scans, does he see any corrupt files? And if God shows you a corrupt file this morning in your spiritual software, it's time to quarantine it. It's time to take it to the Lord in prayer and say, God, this can't be there. It's going to ruin my entire makeup. It's going to ruin everything here in my hard drive of life. I need you to clean me. I need you to wash this out and do away with it.
And just like that, another time at the table of God's Word has come to an end. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of Revelation next time, but you don't have to wait until then to listen to more great Bible studies. You can access this series plus much more at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. Before we close, we want you to know if you live in the Knoxville area, we invite you to join Pastor Mark and the community of Jesus followers at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through his radio outreach. There's always a seat for you, Sunday mornings at 8, 9:30, or 11:15. We also meet on Sunday nights at 6 or Wednesday nights at 7. If you can't make it in person, that's not a problem. You can join us online. We're streaming our services through the Way Media app. You can download this from your app store or right from thewaymedia.net. To find out more info on Calvary Knoxville, scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net for a link to our church website. Pastor Mark has more to share from the book of Revelation, a fascinating and sometimes mind-boggling book that consists of things from the past and touches on what's to come in the future. One sure way to not be anxious about the things written in Revelation is to fully understand exactly what God's telling us prophetically. So be sure to join us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.